ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ. We welcome you to the auspicious celebration of Sri Ram Navami, the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra. According to Vedic literature, the Supreme Absolute is realized in three features: Brahman, which is the impersonal spiritual light; Paramatma, which is the localized super soul within the heart; and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual realm. Realization of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti is realization of Sat, or the eternal aspect of God. Realization of Paramatma includes Sat and Chit, eternity and knowledge, because there is knowledge of the personality of Godhead. But Bhagavan is the complete realization of Godhead, and it includes eternity, knowledge, and bliss, ananda, because we can enter into an active, dynamic, personal, loving relationship with him. And Vedic literatures also explain that Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he expands into different portions, plenary portions and portions of plenary portions. Plenary means full. And Lord Rama is one of the plenary portions or expansions of Krishna. And when Lord Rama appeared, he came with Lakshman, who's also in the same category of Vishnu Tattva, and Bharat and Shatrughna. They're all forms or expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they appeared as sons of Maharaj Dasarath. And they engaged in many pastimes or lila. Lord Ram and all of his brothers and consort Sita Devi and Father Dasaratha, they all exhibited ideal character and behavior. And therefore, Krishna is called Lila Purushottama, and Ram is called Maryada Purushottama, because he showed the ideal behavior. He accepted limits that are appropriate for a human being. And also, he appeared like a human being, because Ravana, the great and powerful demon, tyrant, he had received many boons Just like Hiranyakashipu, he received various boons. And he thought by his boons he could become immortal, that no one could kill him. So in a similar way, Ravana also took many boons, and he covered all different types of agents of death, gods, animals, and so on. But he was so proud of his prowess, he didn't even ask for the boon of not being killed by a man, because it was totally out of the question. No man could kill mighty Ravana. And therefore, Ramchandra appeared as a man in human society to keep the boon intact and at the same time kill the demon Ravana. But although Ram is Krishna or Vasudeva, and Lakshman is Balaram or Shankarshan, there is a difference. Although they're the same in tattva, but there's a difference in rasa, in that with Ram, one can have a relationship only in the mood of a servant. Even his brothers, there is an element of a fraternal relationship, but it's mixed with the mood of being a servant. And the same with Sita. There is an element of Madhurya Ras, but it's mixed with mood of being a servant. Whereas with Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, there is no such restraint or restriction. The love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna is so intense that they forget that Krishna is God, and therefore they love him in complete intimacy. And so there's pure Madhurya Ras, a conjugal relationship between Radha and Krishna. There is pure Vatsalya Ras, parental relationship between Nanda and Yashoda and Krishna. And there is pure Sakya Ras, or fraternal relationship with the different cowherd boys, friendly relationship. And that was the special gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came specifically to bestow upon the fallen souls such intimate relationships with Krishna. Krishna came and demonstrated his intimate relationships with his devotees in Vrindavan, but he did not really distribute that love freely. And after he completed his pastimes or lila, he thought, I did so many things, but I didn't do the main thing. I didn't give this purest type of love. And therefore he thought, I must come again and give this most sublime, intimate love. And there were other reasons as well. But in that mood, Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give that most intimate, pure love. And therefore, followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are generally devotees of Krishna, Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And the worship of Lord Ram or Sita Ram does not play a central role in the worship of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still, there is, Rama is Krishna, in truth. And there have been devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who were devotees of Lord Rama. And their position was that they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Rama. Just like most of the devotees, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his form as Krishna to certain confidential devotees. But these particular devotees, they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Lord Rama, which is true, because Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. He includes all the other incarnations of Godhead within him, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same Krishna, so he also includes all the other incarnations within him. One such devotee was Anupam. He was the younger brother of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And they were always speaking to him about the super excellent beauty of Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. And they were encouraging him to give up the worship of Rama and accept the worship of Krishna. And their arguments were so convincing, and they were his elder brothers, they were like his gurus, so he decided he would follow their advice. But that night he could not sleep because he could not conceive of giving up the worship of Lord Rama. But at the same time, he could not give up the instruction of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. He decided that the only thing he can do is give up his life, because no other alternative was feasible. So in the morning, he explained his conclusion, and in due course, the incident was related to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased that he had such firm devotion to Lord Rama. And it is a fact that every soul, every living entity, that means every one of us, has an eternal relationship with a particular form of Godhead in a particular mood or rasa. And that is fixed. We cannot change it. We need to reveal it. I mean, we need to uncover it. But that is fixed. Another example was Murari Gupta. He was a physician. He was also a devotee of Rama. He also was attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and tried to give up the worship of Rama, but the same thing, he couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. He felt that he would die if he did. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you can stay among my other devotees, you can stay in the association of my other devotees, but externally you should follow the same mode of worship that they do. But internally you can keep your mood of devotion to Rama. Just as the other devotees saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at times as Krishna, or the combined form of Radha and Krishna, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Rama. Another instance involves the sages of Dandakaranya. Now, we're going back in time to Treta Yuga. And these sages were devotees of Krishna, Gopal, and they were performing bhajan, or devotional service, in Dandakaranya, which is sort of near Nasik in India. In fact, many of the pastime places of Lord Ramachandra are in Nasik. So, they were in deep meditation, and then when Lord Ram was in exile, he came to where they were in meditation in the forest. And when they saw the Lord, they were attracted to him. They felt so attracted to him. They felt that he is beautiful, just like the object of their meditation, just like Gopal. And within themselves, they didn't say it externally or orally, but within themselves they wanted to have a relationship with Rama or with the Lord as lovers. And Lord Ramachandra blessed them that in this particular manifestation, I have taken a vow of accepting only one wife, Ekapatni Vrat. So I cannot accept you as my lovers. But in Dwapara Yuga, when I come again as Krishna, I will accept you. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam's description of the Rasa Lila, when Krishna played upon his flute under the Vansivat, the tree by the Yamuna River, all of the young gopis were attracted by the sound of Krishna's flute. Actually, Krishna's flute is one of his messengers or duties, and the flute was sending them the message to please come and meet me in the forest. And each gopi thought that that message was exclusively meant for her. So each one felt, I must go immediately to Krishna. He's calling for me. But some of the gopis were prevented from leaving their homes. They were all under the care of some authority figures, so their fathers or husbands or mothers-in-law, they prevented them from going out of the house in the middle of the night or towards the middle of the night. But it's described that in their intense feelings of separation, they also met with the Lord. And the Lord, knowing their desire, entered their hearts and embraced them from within their hearts. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur analyzes these different categories of gopis. Four main categories. There's the Nitya Siddhas, who are eternal associates of Krishna, and the Sadhana Siddhas, devotees who become perfect by execution of devotional service. And then there are two special categories. The Shrutachari Gopis, those are the personified Vedas. This is a little intricate topic or esoteric topic, but there in Srimad Bhagavatam, they were a special category. They all also attained the form of gopis. And then the Rishichari Gopis, they were the rishis in the Dandakaranya forest who were blessed by Ram that when he came as Krishna, he would accept them. So, certainly Lord Ram has the power to bless us if we have some desire to serve Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Whatever desire we have for service, even up to the desire of the rishis at Dandakaranya, Lord Ram can fulfill those desires if we approach him with that degree of sincerity and purity. So to conclude, because we don't have so much time, I'm going to read one verse and purport from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam has a summary of the Ramayana, two full chapters, summary of the Ramayana. But the fifth canto also has beautiful prayers to Lord Rama, because even within the material world, there are planets where great devotees of the Lord reside with their followers, and they lead their followers in the worship of their beloved Lord. So one such planet is King Purusha Varsha, and there Lord, well, Hanuman, he leads the other inhabitants, the other devotees, in prayers to Lord Rama. And seeing all the children enthusiastically chanting and dancing and worshiping and hugging, I thought of that these verses are very appropriate, because they basically tell us that in approaching Lord Ramachandra, there's no distinction. no bodily distinction made. Anyone in any type of body can approach him in the mood of devotion. So just read a few verses. One, this is text 7, Canto 5, chapter 19, text 7. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities, such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends. Therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or a creature other than a man, such as a beast or bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus he is satisfied, and as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead. So, just commenting on this one line, there is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. There's one story that Srila Prabhupada told from Ramayana about Hanuman and the spider. Although the Ramayana relates the story in relation to a squirrel, so it's possible, because it was very early in the movement, the devotees were not used to Srila Prabhupada's accent, and Prabhupada's accent was pretty strong back then, that when he said squirrel, they might have taken it as spider. But the story dies. Shri Radhakala Kanji Ki Jai. Shri Jagannath Bhagadeva Shabhadra Ki Jai. Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So as the story was passed down in ISKCON, it was a spider. So I'm going to tell it as a spider, but the purport is the same. So Hanuman was standing by the shore of the ocean, and he was heaving these huge boulders into the ocean to build the bridge to Lanka. They were floating. The boulders were floating. And a little spider was there, flicking little grains of sand into the ocean. So Hanuman became a little rough, And he said, can't you see I'm throwing these huge boulders into the ocean? And what are you doing, flicking your little grains of sand? You're just getting in my way. Now please move. And Lord Ramachandra overheard this exchange, and he intervened and said, Hanumanji, that spider is serving me to his capacity, and you are serving me to your capacity. So in my eyes, both of your service is the same. You're both serving according to your capacity. And besides, I'm the one who's making the boulders float. So why are you trying to take the credit? So, yes. He accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Now, purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Ramachandra is so kind and merciful to his devotees that he is very easily satisfied by a little service rendered by anyone, human or not. This is the special advantage of worshipping Lord Ramachandra. And there is the same advantage in worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Krishna and Lord Ramachandra, in the manner of Kshatriyas, sometimes showed their mercy by killing asuras. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awarded love of God without difficulty even to the asuras. All the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but especially Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and later Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, delivered many of the living entities present before them. Indeed, almost all of them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore represented in the six-armed form of Sadbhuj Murti, which is a combination of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Sadbhuj Murti, the form of the Lord with six arms. Two arms of Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna, and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a special form which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did manifest on occasion. And in this form, he has two hands with a bow and arrow, two hands playing a flute, and two hands, one holding a sannyas danda, and one holding a sannyasi's kamandalu, or water pot. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested this form on occasion. And this form, in its own way, has a special significance, because in the 1990s, Tamal Krishna Goswami and I had the idea of getting a place at Govardhan, because Govardhan is very merciful and of special importance to devotees. And the best property at Govardhan was had been built as a palace, one of many palaces of the king or Maharaj of Chhatrapur, which is near another place, more well known, called Khajuraho, which is quite a famous tourist destination in India. So I went to meet him with a lawyer from Mathura. It's quite a trip by train and bus. And the king, former king, was quite nice. I asked him to donate the property. And he said, you know, if it was earlier, he would have liked to have donated it to us. But he said, times are not so good for kings nowadays. So, unfortunately, I will have to ask for something. And he named a figure that was like a token amount, almost, far less than the market value. So I was very happy. And the lawyer, he was like experienced, you know, he's experienced in the world. And he said, just to make it more firm, ask the king to see his deity. And then when you're in front of the deity, say, you know, this is such an auspicious moment. Why don't you, you know, recommit your promise, restate your promise in front of the deity. So I said what he advised to the king, and he took me into his altar. This was in Khajuraho, his bigger palace, you know, capital of his kingdom was in Chhatrapur. And his deity was actually a picture of Sadbhuj. That's just very unusual. And so I said what I was meant to say, and he said, yes, in front of the Lord, I promise I will give you the land for such and such amount. And eventually we did get it. But it wasn't that easy, because there were so many greedy people. First, there was his panda at Govardhan. And the pandas, they do more than just take money for, you know, darshan, but they also deal in real estate. So first was his panda, like, how could you do that? This property is worth, you know, five times more than that. And you can't do it. And then there was his son-in-law. He didn't have a son, but he had a son-in-law. So, you know, this is too little, you know. You can't do this. And then his secretary. His secretary was really sort of like controlling things. So, Tamal Krishna Goswami, we were quite a team, because we each had our own part to play. So, I guess I was the king liked me and he agreed. But he couldn't get out of the clutches of all these greedy people around him. So, after delays and delays, and I would send letters. I even went back, and he would promise, I'm doing it, I'm doing it, I'm doing it, but nothing would happen. So Tamal Krishna Goswami, with his intelligence, he figured out, okay, we have to probably pay a little something here and there to get this done, which I couldn't deal with that. So he sent a really good team, both quite experienced in the world, one with more integrity and one with less integrity. And he sent the two of them to Khajuraho. And yeah, that's what it took. Gave something to the secretary, gave something to the son-in-law, and I don't know what they did about the panda, but anyway, then it went through. And we got that property, which is now there for the service of devotees, Bhaktivedanta Ashram, Sadhana Ashram. So Sadhbhuj. So I will read one verse about Sadhbhuj. I mean, this is so beautiful. I mean, we could really discuss this for some time, but I'll be very brief because now this verse that I'm going to read, it's like a textual form of Sadhbhuj, because the very same verse can apply equally to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Lord Krishna, and to Lord Sri Ramachandra. The translation, because it comes in the part of the Bhagavatam where Karbhajan Muni is describing the different incarnations in different ages, so this comes in the descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the translation slightly, you know, favors the verse as referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the purport, which quotes the commentaries of Jiva Goswami and Sridhar Swami, makes it very clear that the same words, same configuration of words, can apply to Lord Krishna and to Lord Sri Ramachandra. And again, for the sake of time, I'll just read the translation. The last line of this and the previous and succeeding verses, Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. O Mahapurush, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after by even the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to a Brahmin's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, and at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shyamasundar. It's a very beautiful description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I could speak on how each word or phrase refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but one, and much of it you know already, but one you might not know, that there were many caste Brahmins who were upset with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip because he was performing Sankirtan, he was welcoming everyone, regardless of caste or creed. And in his confidential kirtans at Srivas Pandit's home, he didn't just allow anyone and everyone, but only the most pure devotees, whether they were rich or poor or high caste or low caste. And so one caste Brahmin, he got very angry with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he cursed him that you will never be able to enjoy material happiness. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received the curse, He danced in ecstasy, literally. He danced in ecstasy. I'm liberated. So, being the most anyway, just briefly, you gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence. So his wife, Vishnupriya, she is the goddess of fortune. And so he gave up that opulence, that, you know, his loving mother and prestige. He was like worshipped by all the residents of Navadvipa and so many things. He gave that up, which is most difficult to renounce, and it's hankered after by even the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you left for the forest, just traveled by foot through the forest, in obedience to a Brahmin's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls, that's us, who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, and at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shyamasundara. So the same Sanskrit words can also apply to Krishna. He was born in the opulent city of Mathura, but in obedience to his parents' desires, and the parents are considered like gurus, in that sense they're like Brahmins because they're gurus, he left the opulence of Mathura and wandered in the forest of Vrindavan. And this word, Maya Mrigam. So Maya can mean Maya, the illusory energy, Mahamaya. And Mrigam, it can mean like an animal or a toy, a doll. So in this reading, in Jiva Goswami's reading, Maya Mrigam, Maya refers to Yoga Maya, the spiritual energy, to Radharani. And Mrigam means a toy. So basically, this is a glorification of Radharani, that Krishna becomes like a plaything in the hands of Radharani. It's very confidential, but you're all confidential devotees. And so he's always running after her. And then Srila Sridhar Swami, he explains the verse in relation to Lord Ramachandra. He gave up the opulence of Ayodhya. And again, Aryavachasa, that's following the order of his father. You know the story that King Dasarath had promised a boon to Kaikeyi, and she didn't take it immediately, but on the eve of Lord Rama's coronation, she said, "Remember, you promised me a boon, two boons? Well, I want to collect them now." And then she asked that Lord Ram go into exile for 14 years, and that her son Bharat occupy the throne. So Aryavachasa, on the order of his father, again, like a guru, like a Brahmin, he left the opulence of Ayodhya and wandered in the forest. And Maya Mrigam, in this context, that refers to the illusory deer. Because Ravana wanted to kidnap Sita, and he knew he could not do it if Lord Ram was there. So he sent Maricha as a Maya Mriga, Maya, illusory Mriga, animal, deer, to charm Sita Devi. So that deer came and wandered off, and Sita wanted it. And she asked Lord Ram, said, okay, I will bring it. And then Ravana came and kidnapped her. It fits Lord Ramachandra also. Now, so therefore this verse is really like the Sad Bhuj Murti, which Srila Prabhupada said in the previous purport, that we should worship. It's the best mode of worship, Sad Bhuj Murti. I guess one final note, when Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, he would, you know, come to different places and take alms at different devotees' homes to take prasad. So in South India, he came, one Brahmin invited him home for prasad. And that Brahmin was a great devotee of Ram. And Mahaprabhu's usual time, like, was noon, and the time was passing, and there was nothing there until late in the afternoon. And then late in the afternoon, this Brahmin offered Mahaprabhu just some like simple fruits and berries and roots. So the Brahmin, who was a great devotee of Rama, he was in the mood of Ram and Sita being in the forest. He was in the mood that Ram was in the forest after Sita had been kidnapped. And so when he offered the plate to Mahaprabhu, he said, you know, I'm sorry, I was just searching in the forest and this is all I could find. And he was in a very morose mood. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, why are you so sad? And he said, you know, the demon Ravana has kidnapped Sita, and just the thought that he touched Sita, it's breaking my heart. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't feel that way. Sita Devi is the spiritual energy. No ordinary soul can even see her, what to speak of touch her. So don't think like that. Ravana could not even see her, what to speak of touch her. And what Ravana took was not the original Sita, but a Maya Sita, an illusory representation of Sita. So the Brahmin was happy to hear that, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued in his travels. And then at one of the main temples, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered the manuscript to the Kurma Purana. Not the whole Purana, but just two chapters. And in the Kurma Purana, it explains this detail that when Ravana came to kidnap Sita, the original Sita went into the earth. And what Ravana kidnapped was a Maya Sita, or an illusory representation of Sita. And then, in the end of the great battle, when Rama killed Ravana and Sita was delivered and she was tested in the fire, so the original Sita came forth from the earth. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he read this, he thought of that Brahmin, Ramdas Vipra. And he thought, you could see how caring he was, how thoughtful he was for his devotee. Not even his devotee in a way, his devotee, but Rama's devotee. So he thought of that Brahmin. And then he thought, I want to take these pages back to him. And so he took the permission of the pujaris or mahants at the temple, and they made a copy to keep in the temple. And they gave the original to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he took it, and he stopped at Ram Das Vipra's house again, and he delivered with his own hand those pages from the Kurma Purana into the Brahmin's hand. And the Brahmin was very happy, and all his lamentation was dispelled, and he prepared a wonderful feast for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which reminds me of something. I'm sure we have a wonderful feast here too. It was also offered to Lord Ram. So, yes, it's a wonderful culture we have. So beautiful. It's like, I mean, any other, say, poetry, anything, poetry, epic, or loving reciprocations, nothing can compare to the Lord and his devotees as we have learned through Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada. And we saw these qualities in Srila Prabhupada, and that's parampara. It's parampara. Sometimes, I mean, it's very common that people, you know, like, how do you know this, or how do you know Krishna looks like that, or this is parampara. I don't know, but my guru told me, and his guru told him, and his guru told him, and his guru told him. It goes all the way back to Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's very natural. It's like in discussing the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada would say that Arjuna accepted Krishna as the Supreme Lord, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavasa. If you're not going to accept it from Arjuna, then from whom will you accept it? Arjuna was there. Who else can be an authority, better authority than Arjuna? So sometimes we think, like, what will be the future? Like, okay, we're Prabhupada's disciples, what will be the future? Because we saw Prabhupada, we heard Prabhupada, but we're repeating it, and people are hearing it, and they'll repeat it. And Prabhupada heard it from his guru, he saw his guru, and like that, it goes all the way back. Of course, there cannot be any interpretation or speculation or compromise, but just presenting it as it is. And the same message, the same spiritual truth, the same mood, the same love, it will all come to us through parampara. And that's what we're experiencing, to whatever extent we're able, by their mercy. Hare Krishna. So I think we'll end. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Kala Chanji Ki Jai, Shri Gornitai Ki Jai, Shri Guru Parampara Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Guru, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna.